The recent standoff at a federal wildlife refuge in Oregon highlighted the debate over the role of federally owned land, especially in the West. Now, a new report from the nonprofit research group Headwaters Economics looks at whether there's an economic benefit or impediment to non-metro counties with federal land in the West. Megan Lawson is an economist with Headwaters Economics. And Megan, it looks like you found, in general, economic growth was stronger in counties with a lot of federal land than in those without it.
Exactly. Yep, we found that counties with the most federal land have had far greater growth in population, employment, and personal income over the last several decades than in counties with the least federal land.
Can you make the leap and make a correlation that that growth is because of the presence of all that federal land there?
No. That's something I want to be very careful about with interpreting these results. We're not implying that the federal lands are causing this economic growth, but we can safely conclude that they're not impeding economic growth.
What are some of the opportunities with federal land? I mean, in many cases, you can't develop it. You know, there are very stringent restrictions about what you can do on that land. So what are some of the ways that counties and residents in those counties can use those federal lands to drive economic growth?
Well, you know, historic use of a lot of federal lands has been for natural resource extraction, whether that's mining, oil and gas, timber, grazing, and that's certainly still a common use and economic driver in a lot of places. What we see in the counties that have been most successful economically is that they've been able to embrace some more diverse economic activity from those federal lands. So they're capitalizing on those lands as recreation assets, scenic vistas, things that attract visitors. But beyond just tourism, those are amenities that can attract new residents or keep existing residents in the area. And so we can see federal lands really as a community asset that that places can leverage to expand the economic diversity of their economies.
Within the results you found of counties that have lots of federal land with stronger economic growth than those that don't, Arizona seems to be a bit of an outlier. Do you have a sense of why that might be?
Yes, and that's a great reminder of another caveat I want to remind folks of with this research, is that this is looking at averages across the West. So there are certainly counties that fall at either end that are outliers and that kind of provide counterexamples. And in Arizona, that's a perfect example. We have Greenlee County, which has very high proportion of federal land and has had relatively low economic performance. And a lot of that, I believe, is being driven by the fact that it's a copper mining community, if I'm not mistaken. And when a community has that sort of long-term reliance on a single sector, we tend to see a lot of volatility because they're subject to the whims of the broader commodity markets.
In Arizona, did you find that the presence of federal land was actually impeding economic growth, or was it just not contributing to potential growth in the counties here?
No, I don't think we can say that it's necessarily impeding it, but when we think about federal lands potentially as an asset, they're maybe not being capitalized upon in a way that might lead to greater economic growth.
Well, do you think that there is a missed opportunity in some of those non-metro counties that have a lot of federal land? I mean, do you think there's potential there that they're just not tapping into?
I think there could be. And again, you know, every county is different, but I do think that there may be some opportunities in a new way of thinking about the role that federal lands can play in local economies that not all communities have considered, you know, especially when you have long-term historic uses of the lands, when they've always been used for one type of activity, it can be an adjustment to start thinking of new types of uses and the potential benefit to communities from those new types of uses.
Megan Lawson is an economist at Headwaters Economics. Megan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.